We're up to Torah Chof Vav in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 88, the left-hand column, almost the middle of the page. This chapter on Likutei Moran and the chapter that follow it are both still based on a debate between Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Bechoyrois, and the Gemara shows how the smarts of one of the rabbis of the Gemara was able to defeat the brains, the geniuses of the Greeks at that time, the Greeks, the Romans, 70 wise men of Athens, as they were known. The Gemara says, and Rabbein Ezal starts off quoting the Gemara, the actual words of the debate, and Rabbein Ezal is going to give two explanations, two interpretations of this particular debate. Ritziso demayis bebuuse hecha nofik rucha. Ritzitzo means a chick that's starting to grow inside of an egg that dies while it's inside the shell. Hecha nofik rucha. How does its ruach exit? Where does the ruach hachaim exit from? This was their question to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, because the shell remains closed completely. So where does the ruach leave from? The Omar Luhu, he said to them, Bahainu Da'ol. The same way it entered, the same way it came in, that's the way it goes out. Implying that just like when it came in, it wasn't something physical that needed a physical opening to enter, so too when it leaves, it doesn't need a physical exit to be able to leave from. But as we mentioned before many times, these weren't stam questions that they were asking him. Each one of these questions was very deep, and the Meforshim give different explanations. Now Rabbein Ezal offers his explanation as to what this question and answer were about. The Rashbam on the left here, Ritzitzo demayis, Efroyach shemeis betoich kliposoi. Efroyach means a chick that dies inside the shell. How does its ruach leave? Rabbein Ezal explains now, Ritzitzo ze efroyach. The word ritzitzo in Aramaic means an efroyach, a chick. Ze bechinas tzadik. This represents the tzadik. The bechinas, as the posuk says, yifrach biyomov tzadik. The posuk says in Tehillim, talking about the generation of Shloimei HaMelech, that the Jews will blossom forth as tzadikim. They'll shine and blossom as tzadikim. So we see that this term yifrach is used in conjunction with tzaddik. We find another pasuk in Tehillim, tzaddik katomor yifrach. So we see that the efroyach here is the symbol of the tzaddik. Sheshoalu oisoi, these 70 wise men of Athens asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, hatzaddik shememis es atzmoi, a tzaddik who kills himself, Moiser es nafshoi bitzloisei ubousei, and he's Moiser nefesh in his tefillah. The Targum, there's a pasuk in Chumash where Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef HaTzadik, Va'ani nosati lecho Shechem achad alachecho, that I have given you the city of Shechem, asher lokachti miyad hu emoiri, which I took away from the nation of Emoiri, becharbi ubekashti, with my sword and with my bow. The Targum on that pasuk says, on Becharbi Ubekashti is, Betzloisi Ubebousi, with my tefillah and with my constant requesting of Hashem. So this word Beuse, which in Aramaic means an egg, also means tefillah. So Rabbein Ezal explains, the tzaddik who dies in his tefillah, which means he's moiser nefesh, he davens with tremendous mesiras nefesh. Be'ezem en hamekoymois min ha'tefillah tzorech loy limsor es nafshoy b'yoyser. Which part of the tefillah, which section of the tefillah does the tzaddik have to give the most mesiras nefesh? This was their question to him. Now regarding this issue of mesiras nefesh in tefillah, Rabbein Ezal mentions this in a few other places in Likutei Moran, and Rabbein Ezal quotes the words of the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there's a pasuk, Ki olecho hoiragnu kol hayoim. Hashem, we die for you every day. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this refers to tzaddikim who during their tefillah, especially, for example, when they say the words "V'yohavto es Hashem alikecho b'chol levovcho u'v'chol nafshecho," that a Jew is supposed to love Hashem with his whole nefesh, and the Gemara says "afilu noitel es nafshecho," that even if somebody would say your religion or your life, your Hashem or your life, a tzaddik, a Jew, would be willing to say, "I'm willing to die for my religion. I'm willing to die for Hashem." When a Jew davens with mesiras nefesh, with that kavona, where a person puts their whole nefesh into the tefillah, a person really concentrates, focuses all their attention and literally all their energy in the tefillah, where a person at the end of the davening is exhausted because they really put everything they had into it, and the pasuk actually says, nafshi yotzo bedabroi, that a person could actually cause their nefesh to come out in their dibur. If a person speaks and puts their whole heart into it, it's actually their soul that leaves them in the dibur. So the Zohar HaKadosh says that this is accomplished in tefillah, that tzaddikim, when they daven, bebechinas kol atzmoy say toimarno, they daven with the energy of every part of their body, from their toes to their head, every single of the part of the body is concentrated and focused on the tefillah. That's their mesiras nefesh. So here the question that they were asking was, usually we assume that a person can't necessarily do this for an hour straight, or a half hour straight even. So in terms of a tzaddik knowing which is the best point, which is the best place to really give it everything he has in terms of mesiras nefesh, this was their question. Veheishiv lohem, and Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya answered them, Heicha de'ol. Heicha de'ol in Aramaic meant, one translation of it is, where it entered. The word o'ol also means to lift up, in the place in davening where the tzaddik wants to lift something up, that's where he has to have the most mesiras nefesh. Hainu, eich sheyesh loy lahalois nitzutzei hakdusha. At that point in the tefillah, where the tzaddik has to elevate sparks of kedusha, those sparks of kedusha that have fallen into the hands of the klipos, they've fallen into the hands of tuma, and the tzaddik, part of the tzaddik's responsibility is to be able to elevate those particles of kedusha from the hands of the tuma and lift it into kedusha. That's where he has to do it. How does he know? Rabbi Nazal says, "Hainu eich shenichnosim boy machshavoy zoros." When a tzaddik experiences outside thoughts coming at him during his tefillah, v'tzorich lahaaloisam kiyadua, and the tzaddik knows that he has to elevate these thoughts, that these machshavos actually represent particles of kedusha that he's responsible to elevate. Shom tzorich loy limser nafshoi. That's the place in the tefillah where the tzaddik has to be moiser nefesh. So here Rabbein Azal stresses, we know that bichlal, unfortunately, everybody that davens usually experiences machshavoy zoros in tefillah. All kinds of bilbulim, outside thoughts that come to them at the time that they're davening. A person would say logically it seems ridiculous. Imagine speaking to Hashem. Imagine a person making an appointment, lahavdil, to see a doctor. You have to make an appointment a couple of days in advance. And if he's a super specialist, it's months in advance. And then you have to pay before you go in, the $500 you give before you see the guy. And then you come into him and he says, if you're lucky, he doesn't do any damage. He doesn't make things worse at all. And then he'll say, try this and come back to me in a month, or come back to me in 2 weeks. All the games and all the nonsense and all the destruction that most doctors unfortunately usually wreak on people. And here when it comes to dealing with Hashem, Kaviyochol Hashem, who has infinite means at his disposal to provide every kind of good imaginable and that's not imaginable to the person, physically, spiritually, financially, health, everything imaginable, and there's no appointment necessary and there's no dollars necessary, a person starts talking and Hashem is right there. Koroiv Hashem l'chol koirov. That's what the pasuk says. Hashem is close by to everybody that calls out to him. So a person would say, it would only make sense that we should at least have the minimum degree of respect and normalcy that while we're talking to Hashem, we're not thinking about anything else at the time. We're concentrating only on that. You get a person who goes in to see a specialist, knows he's got 15 minutes to talk. He doesn't think about what he had for breakfast or what his wife's going to make for supper or all the typical thoughts that people have during Shemoneh Esrei or Kriya Shema and everything else. When the person's talking to the specialist, he doesn't have those thoughts. So why is it that these thoughts come at the most important time in a person's life, literally, in terms of tefillah? Rabbi Nizal says you should know that one of the nicknames for tefillah is the word tehillah. Tehillah l'David arimimcha. The word tehillah means tefillah also. And Rabbi Nizal says the word tehillah is miloshein tohola. Tohola in Hebrew means confusion. There's a pasuk ube malochov yosim tohola. Hashem places confusion in his malochim. He throws such a fear upon them that they get all confused. They don't know what they're doing. Rabbi Nizal says during tefillah, unfortunately, many people or most people experience that tohola, that confusion where everything imaginable comes to them at this time when they should be concentrating only on one thing, only on speaking to Hashem. So now, when regular people experience this, usually it's because of averois that they've done. The averois that a person does in life create all kinds of things. They create malachim. Each mitzvah creates a malach toiv. Each avera creates a malach ra. Each avera creates a malach ra. And unfortunately, part of the damage that a person's sins do to them is they come back to attack the person when the person's trying to do good. For example, a person's trying to daven, these machshavos and bilbulim come to battle him, to make it a tremendous struggle for the person to daven, because it's my fault. It's my fault that I created these things, and now they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're trying to make it difficult for me to return to Hashem, or to do good. And it's a person, Rabbi Nizal speaks about this, Rabbi Nizal speaks about how a person should battle this, that a person should ignore it. Person should, most people who try to fight it and think about it and get all involved and they make things even worse, Rabbi Nizal says usually the best advice is just ignore it, keep moving. Just have the train keep going and think, concentrate, try to pull each time you realize that your brain went off the track, just yank it back like reins on a horse, Rabbi Nizal says. When the horse goes off, you simply tug on the reins to pull it back on the track. The machshava is the same way, Rabbi Nizal says. Each and every Jew has the ability, the moment they realize that their brain veered off track, to put it back on the track. And Rabbi Nizal says, since it's impossible for a person to be thinking two thoughts at the exact same moment, if you'll simply bring your mind back to think about the tefillah, automatically the other item will fall away. And even if it happens 20 times, keep moving, keep going, and you'll see the other thing will disappear. That's when we talk about regular people, like us. The question is, when it comes to tzaddikim, who don't commit sins, and they experience a machshava zora in tefillah, where is that coming from? It's not a result of his sins. He's not doing any sins. So obviously it's coming from somewhere else. And the Arizal and all the Sforim HaKadoshim explain that what that is, when a tzaddik is davening and he experiences machshavas rois or machshavas zorois, those are actually neshamois or particles of kedusha that need a tikkun, that are coming to him for a tikkun. They're coming to the tzaddik for a tikkun, and this is the way they come. They come as sort of a test to him, in a sense, during the time of tefillah, in the form of a machshava zora. How does the tzaddik fix them? These neshamois, or these sparks of kedusha that are damaged, that are tomei, they've fallen into the hands of the klipois, how does the tzaddik fix them? In order to fix them, the tzaddik has to be moiser nefesh. He has to show extraordinary loyalty and devotion to Hashem, mesiras nefesh. The Arizal says that one example of this is when a person says nefila sapayim in tefillah. When a person climbs the ladder of tefillah in Shachris, and they go from Karbonos, the Olam HaAsiyah, to Psukei Dezimra, to the Olam HaYetzirah, to Shema, which is the Olam Habriya, to Shmoin Esrei, which is the Olam Ha'atzilus, person gets to the highest place and not finished yet. Not finished. There are things that still need to be accomplished. Rabbi Nezal says when the person does Nefila Sapayim, after Shmoin Esrei, Nefila Sapayim means playing dead, where the person puts their hand down, they fall on their arm, they cover their face. The face is the symbol of life. Chochma Sodom To'ir Ponov, the light on the face represents life, the living force of the person. HaChochma Techaye Bo'oleho, Chochma is life, and Chochma is the Oyer Haponim. So covering the face, Hastoras Ponim, there's a pasuk V'histarto Ponai, that Kaviyochel, when Hashem covers his face from a person, hides his face, then there's destruction, then there's death. So this concept of Nefila Sapayim at the end of Shmoneh Esrei represents a tzaddik dying for Hashem, playing dead, literally. And when he says that tefillah, Racham v'chanun chotosi, or according to the Zohar Kodesh, the way the Sfardim say, L'dovid Eilecho Hashem nafshi eso, that's the kapitel of Tehillim that the Sfardim say for Nefila Sapayim. Eilecho Hashem nafshi eso, that means mesiras nefesh. I'm giving over my nefesh to Hashem. That dying represents the tzaddik throwing himself down. Death means yerida, nefila. The tzaddik throws himself down to the place of the soton, in a sense, to the place of tuma, death, in order that when he climbs out of there, he'll be able to bring up with him sparks of Kedusha, all kinds of sparks of Kedusha that are ready to come out from there, but just need a tzaddik to be able to do it. The tzaddik is the one that's able to do it by being moiser nefesh, by displaying mesiras nefesh. This is one example of it. And Rav Nosonsal explains in the Kotei Halacha is this is the reason why right before Nefila Sapayim we have the vidui, oshamnu, bogadnu, gozalnu. Again, when a tzaddik says that, most probably, he's not saying it so much for himself. He didn't do all of those Hashamnu Bogadnu things. So who's he saying it for? He's saying it for all those sparks of Kedusha that he's going to want to be Mesakein. He's being Mizvadeh on their behalf. That cleanses them in a sense. And then when he does the Nefila Sapayim, he throws himself down. Noifel Alponov means he falls down. He's Moiser Nefesh. That gives him this ability to be able to elevate these sparks of Kedusha that are ready to be lifted up. This is one example of where this is accomplished. There are many other examples. Rabbi Nezal here mentions that any time a tzaddik experiences a machshava zora in tefillah, the implication is that that's a time for him to give mesiras nefesh. That it's implying that that's a neshama that needs a tikkun that's far down and needs to be lifted up. The way that the tzaddik does that is through his mesiras nefesh. If he displays mesiras nefesh in tefillah at that time, that allows him to elevate and be mesake in those sparks of kedusha. Excellent question, because this question Rav Nosonsal discusses Nefila Sapayim in about 6 chapters. In each chapter he says, and now you could understand why on Shabbos and Yontif, or any day where there's a Toisvis Kedusha, where there's some extra Kedusha, we don't do Nefila Sapayim. Why? Because what is Shabbos? Shabbos is Neshama Yesera. Shabbos means added Kedusha. On Shabbos, it doesn't take that tzaddik turning up the fire to do it. He doesn't have to air that mesiras nefesh. The holiness of the day itself accomplishes it. Shabbos itself lifts up those sparks of Kedusha. That's why we say in Kigavna v'chol dinin misabrino, on Shabbos all sitrachra evaporates in a sense. The holiness of the day itself accomplishes what during the weekday that tzaddik has to go through all of these gyrations and struggles to be able to do. That's true about Shabbos or any day where we don't say Tachnun. The reason we're not saying Tachnun is because there's a Tosefet Kedusha on that day. Where there's the Tosefet Kedusha, that itself accomplishes it automatically.
How does this affect though when Tachnun is not said for say this group, but this group it does say for these sparks? How to get a revishal because it's going to be a first revishal.
The computers in heaven are totally in tune.
The spark disperses immediately to these
It's all very well organized and very well taken care of. And he's quoting a different example. In other words, forget Shabbos. Shabbos is straight across the board for all of Klal Yisrael. What about a bris, for example? Or a chosnin shul? During those 7 days, in that shul, they're not saying tachnun. The answer is, in that shul where the chosn is present, the light of the chosn during those 7 days, he's on a tremendous high. And his Tosefet Kedusha helps all the people in that shul accomplish what's normally accomplished through tachnun on a filas sapayim without doing it. It happens by itself.
Politics?
No politics.
No, non-political.
On Yom HaTzmaut, if all the Jews have shalom, and nobody thinks that whatever anybody else is doing wrong, then everything's okay. That's the next chapter on the Likutei Moharan is going to be about Yom HaTzmaut. Okay. You'll see. It's going to be about shalom.
Why would that bother them, and why would they even be on the
The point isn't necessarily why it was bothering them. These were the smartest, deepest minds at that time among the Goyim. When we picture smart minds today among the Goyim, we picture a person who could invent a certain type of computer. It's, you know, somebody very advanced in physical sciences, you know, that kind of thing. In those days, these people had knowledge of Kishuf, they had knowledge of Shemois of Tumah, they had all types of knowledge which isn't found today, lahavdil, among, you know, even among some of the tzaddikim, in terms of forces of Tumah. Homon, the Arizal, shows how they had knowledge, why he built a tree 50 amos, he knew what 50 was, you know, etc., etc. So on one hand, number one, they had knowledge, they had very deep knowledge. On the other hand, the fact that this story appears in the Gemara implies that there was Torah in their discussion. Even if, let's say, at the time they were saying it, they didn't necessarily have this kavona, the fact that this was an incident that happened in Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya's life, there had to be Torah in it, and deep Torah. So it could have 30 interpretations. Could be they were saying it on one level, he was hearing it on 70 levels and giving the answer on all 70 levels. You understand? On one hand, Al-Pi Pshat, he answered their question. On the other hand, there were 50 different levels of interpretations of what the debate was. And on all 50 levels, he was answering the question.
So what exactly is the need for saying Tzidkoskel on Shabbos? If we have the added Kiddush of Shabbos in place of
Tachman, Tzidkoscho is not Nefilas Apayim. When we say Tzidkoscho, we say that Shabbos at Mincha is considered to be the holiest time of the week. Raiva de Raivan, the Zohar HaKadosh calls it. Rotzon Sheberetzon is, it's the time when Hashem's love for Bnei Yisrael is at the highest high of the whole week. Part of what makes it so high is the fact that three of the greatest tzaddikim of all time died at that time. Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzadik, Dovra Melech. The fact that their neshamos lifted off at that moment added incredible kedusha to that particular time. When we say Tzidkoscha, we arouse the zuchus of the neshamos of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzadik, Dovra Melech.
It's also to be masked that at this time the neshamos are returned to Gehenna.
Which neshamos?
The neshamos
That's why we're saying a tzidkoscha in a sense a form of tziduk hadin. Could be. So what's the question? No, he's saying the fact that it's getting ready, preparing for that item. So what's your question?
So it would seem though that it's already at mincha time on Shabbos that the neshamos are returning to Gehenna. So why isn't it that the...
Not that they're returning, that they're preparing. No, they don't return until after Shabbos. 100%. In fact, it's exactly. In fact, it's brought that according to how late a person keeps Shabbos in this world, that's what determines if chas v'cholil a person should have to go to Gehenna. Those people who want to end Shabbos the first second they go by the clock, chas v'shalom, those neshamos, when it comes to being put back into Gehenna, they play their clock. Now, it's if a person started Shabbos earlier and ends Shabbos later, then over there also, they give that person an extended Shabbos in front and in back, and the opposite also. So chas v'shalom, no neshamos go back before the end of Shabbos. On the contrary, that's why it's brought also that at that time, Shabbos Mincha, from Shabbos Mincha until the end of Shabbos, a person should not drink water from the tap, because that water is being used to help those neshamos that will have to return to Gehenna after Shabbos. They're filling up, in a sense, on that water before going. Because you're taking away from their supply. That's what it is. These neshamos that chas v'shalom have to go back to Gehenna after Shabbos, it's what's brought is they need that water. And a person who drinks water that hasn't been prepared from before at that time is taking away from their supply. We're going way off track, back onto the track. Saying for now, just to make clear this chapter in Likutei Moran in terms of the points that Rabbeinu Zal was stressing about this union of machshavos chitzonius or machshavos zoros that come to tzaddikim during tefillah, and why, and what it shows, and what they're expected to do with it. Now it's interesting, there's a chapter in Likutei Moran later on, Torah Tzaddik Vov in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, where there Rabbeinu Zal mentions also, he asks a question, how is it that a machshava zora should come to a tzaddik during tefillah, when we know the Gemara says, habolet tahir misayin loy, that a person who wants to be pure, Hashem helps him, Hashem doesn't work against him, so tzaddikim certainly want to be pure. How is it that a time a tzaddik is davening, this type of machshava zora comes to him? And Rabbeinu Zal there goes on to explain that from the time of the Shvira Sakelim, in the beginning of creation, certain sparks of Kedusha fell, and the tzaddikim, through their tefillah, have the ability to elevate these sparks of Kedusha. And Rabbeinu Zal said, when a tzaddik is on a certain level, they send him the sparks of Kedusha from that level for him to be mesakein, and everything's and he does it, and he accomplishes what he's supposed to accomplish. Rabbeinu Zal says, however, there are times when a tzaddik wants to elevate one of these thoughts. He gets an outside thought in tefillah, and he wants to elevate it, and he can't. And the question is, why should that be? Why should it be that they send him something that he can't handle, in a sense? Rabbeinu Zal says the reason why he can't handle it is because it's coming from a level that's above the level that this tzaddik is on. So the question is, why should that be? Rabbeinu Zal says, yesh kabbalah biyodi, I was told by one of the tzaddikim of a previous generation, Reb Leib Mistretnitz, who came to Rabbeinu Zal after he had passed away. He came to Rabbeinu Zal in a dream, and he asked Rabbeinu Zal to be makariv of his children, number one. And number two, he told him a few items of Torah. This is one of the items that he told him. He told him that you should know that whenever there is machloikis against a tzaddik, what happens is a machshava zora that's somehow related to the machloikis against that tzaddik comes to a different tzaddik, and that tzaddik can't handle it. He can't be mesaking it. So what happens is, even though he can't elevate it, even though he can't be mesaking it completely, by his battling against it, he breaks those bali machloikas. He's able to defeat the machloikas against the second tzaddik. And Rabbeinu Zal goes on to prove that from a pasuk there. I'm just mentioning this to know that this is a major topic. Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in a few places, the topic of machshava zoros and tefillah, as it relates to regular people, and on a completely different level as it relates to tzaddikim. Why and what and how and what's accomplished by it. Okay. For now, we'll leave it at that for this chapter on Likutei Moran. Now we start the next Torah, Chof Zayin. Chapter Chof Zayin, which is also based on this statement in the Gemara. Ritzisa demayis bebeusa hecho nofik rucha omar lehu bahainu da'ol. They asked Rabbi Shimon Chanya this question, a chick that dies while it's still in the shell, how does its ruach leave it? How does its spirit leave it if there's no opening in the shell? And he answered them the same way it entered. Now, this chapter on Likutei Moran that we're about to begin will probably take about 2 shiurim, and there's a lot of very important information. Rabbi Nizal is going to cover 6 or 8 major concepts in serving Hashem. Just the opening statement alone should be enough to shake everybody up. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki limshoich es kol ha'olam la'avodosoi." In order to be able to draw the entire world, not just the entire Jewish nation, but the entire world to serving Hashem, la'avdoi shechem echod, to serve Hashem shoulder to shoulder, like one unit, having the whole world in unison, in achdus, serving Hashem, v'kulam yashlichu eli le'kaspam u'zehovam, and to have everybody throw away their idols of silver and gold, meaning the main avodah zarah, the main thing people are worshipping in this world, which is the parnosa, the money, the dollar, v'yispalalu el Hashem yisborach levad, and so that people will daven to Hashem only. In other words, drop their faith in all kinds of other things, their faith in their bank accounts, and their faith, security. People define security as how much money a person has in the bank, etc. People dropping all of that nonsense and believing totally and only in Hashem. Ze hadovor nase b'chol dor v'dor l'fi hasholim shebedor. This item is accomplished in every single generation according to the level of shalom that's prevalent in that generation. Ki al yedei hasholim sheyesh bein bnei odom, because according to the degree of peace that there is among people, v'heim choikrim, and people think, they think deeply, umasbirim zelo zeho emes, and they explain to each other the truth, the real truth, al yedei ze mashlich kol ish es sheker elile kaspoi, that will enable each and every person to throw away the sheker, the falsehoods, the idols of money, umekarev es atzmoi loho emes, and for people to be zeicha to come close to the emes, period. Rabbi Nizal says this is the formula. If a person wants to be able to bring the whole world close to Hashem, it doesn't take genius, it doesn't take mikveh, it takes shalom. To the degree that there is shalom, that's the degree that it's possible to bring people close to Hashem, certainly on a universal level, on a level of the whole world. And for this we have many proofs, but just to bring it on the simplest level, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos that a person hevi hilel oimer, hevi mi talmidov shel Aharon HaKohen, that each and every single Jew should strive to be from the students of Aharon HaKohen, oyev shalom, v'roidev shalom, oyev esabriyos, u'mekarvon la'toira. A person should love peace, and loving peace isn't enough. Love peace and sit in your dining room or sit in your bedroom and think about, contemplate about how much you love peace isn't going to help the world. Roidev shalom, person to go out of their own dalet amos and look for machlokes and look to dissolve it, look to fix it, look to correct it. Oyev esabriyos, and love every single bria, every single creation, not just the Naturei Karta, not just the Zionists, but even Lahavdil, the other nations of the world, to come to a point where a person understands that even in them there's good, otherwise Hashem wouldn't have created them, etc., etc. Umekarvon la'Torah, and to bring them all close to Torah. Now for this, take a look at how the Bartanura explains this. Simple, but telling the facts. Here we're talking about Oye de Sabriois Umekarvon la'Torah. There's no question that the biggest accomplishment that a Jew could possibly accomplish in this world is to take one person who's far from Torah, far from Hashem, and bring them close to Hashem. That's the greatest accomplishment that a Jew could possibly achieve in life. Imagine if a person could do it for the whole world, That's the biggest of the biggest. This Mishnah talks about that, and the Meforshim explain exactly, literally, how this was done. The Bar Tanura explains, Pirshu ba'ovois to Reb Noson, it's explained in the Masechta Ovois to Reb Noson, Ketzad hoyo Aharon oyev shalom, exactly how Lemaisa did Aharon HaKohen show his love for peace, when he saw two people fighting or in any type of disagreement, he would go to each one of them without the other one knowing that he did it. And he would say to him, if you would only know how sorry that person feels about what they did to you, and how the person is hitting themselves in the head, feeling so terrible about what they did. Because most of the machloikas in the world, the real machloikas is, where the person's angry that that person did something wrong to me, and they have the chutzpah to think that they're right, when I know that I'm right. What irritates the person, what justifies hating the other person and staying away from the other person is, emes, everybody wants the truth. I believe I'm right, he believes he's right, or she believes she's right, and therefore we can have nothing to do with each other. Therefore we have to be enemies for life, etc., etc. So here, Aharon HaKohen would lie. He would go over to each one and tell him, you can't even begin to imagine how bad that person feels about what they did for you. What they did to you, because obviously you feel they did something wrong to you, otherwise you wouldn't be hating them, you wouldn't be staying away from them. And you think that he doesn't feel bad, you think that he thinks he's right, you're wrong. He really feels terrible, you're right, you're totally right, he feels terrible about it, and he feels so bad that he's too embarrassed, he doesn't even know how to approach you. V'hu Omar li, and this person told me, that I should come to you on his behalf and ask you to forgive him because he's too embarrassed and too ashamed to ask for himself. And the fact that he did this, the fact that he was Aharon HaKohen, and he did it with such sincerity, no fooling around, this was for real and this was from the heart, because it killed him to see the sinner among Jews. The way he went about doing it, and he cut each one of them down to nothing, he made each one of them feel so tiny, by the way he explained this to each one, that when they would see each other, they would kiss each other, and they would become better friends than they had ever been before. That's what kind of a salesman Aharon HaKohen was for Sholem. The Ketzad Hoyamekare Vesabrias Letoiro. And how is he be able to bring people close to Torah? How do you bring somebody close to Torah? By screaming Shabbos, or by doing all kinds of other assorted tricks that are available today? The Mishnah says, how did he bring people close to Torah? When he saw a person, when he knew that somebody had done an Avera, he would attach himself to that person. He would make a connection to that person. Umareloi ponim tzuhuvois. And he would show that person a lit up face, a friendliness, a warmth. I love you. Not I despise you, and I think you're zero, and I think I'm a billion times better than you, because I know you did an Avera and I didn't do it. Here the Torah says he would attach himself to the person and show the person ponim tzuhuvois. V'hoyo oisoy odom mezbayesh. And the person would feel, he didn't have to yell at the person, he didn't have to insult the person, he didn't even have to tell the person what the person did wrong. The person themselves would become embarrassed and ashamed. V'oimer, and the person would say to themselves, Ilu hoya yodea tzadik ze maisai horoim, if he knew the terrible things that I did, kamo hoya misrachek mimeni. Imagine how far he would stay away from me. He'd run 1,000 miles to get away from me. Umitoyka hoya choizer lemutov. And the fact that Aharon HaKohen didn't run away, but rather he stuck to that person like glue, the person was forced, the person had no alternative other than to change, other than to improve themselves, to do tshuva by themselves in that way. And now he concludes by saying, the Bartanura finishes by saying, Hu Shehanovi Meid Olav. And this is why the Novi testifies about Aharon HaKohen. The Pasuk says in Malachi, B'sholoim u'b'mishoir holach. He went, he walked a path of Sholoim, peace, and Mishur, a straight line. He walked a straight line. V'rabim heshiv me'ovoim. And he was zeicha to cause many, many people to return from sin. It's all here. It's all spelled out very clearly. If anybody today thinks they know more than the Bartanura, or they know more than Hillel HaZaken who wrote Pirkei Avos, then there's nothing to talk about. Any person that thinks that is just plain silly, nothing more than that. Person wants to be semi-religious or semi-Jewish, it's all spelled out very clearly what the right approach is, what the best approach is. And if a person follows this approach, you don't have to yell at anybody about how television is terrible and this is terrible. You don't have to say anything to the person about what's bad, about what's wrong. If you simply become close to the, if the religious, if the tzaddikim will show a friendly face to the rishonim, will show them ahava, and will attach themselves to them, the rishonim will do tshuva by themselves, where the maximum kiddush Hashem will be accomplished. When a person tells somebody you're doing the wrong thing and you have to change it, even if the other person does tshuva, the tshuva isn't anywhere near as big a nachas to Hashem as if you didn't have to tell the person, as if the person figured it out by themselves, by showing that person a warmth and a love, and the person themselves felt ashamed and embarrassed, and on their own they went and changed, that's an infinitely greater kiddush Hashem, and it's a much better way of doing it. The odds are more in the person's favor, and this is the way the Torah suggests to do it. And this is exactly what Rabbi Nizal is presenting in this first chapter, in this first paragraph. That if a person wants to accomplish this, v'rabim heshiv me'ovoin, if a person wants to get not one, but hundreds or thousands of people to serve Hashem, loved by Shechem Echod, the key is this, b'sholoim u'b'mishor holach, to go with sholoim, to understand how critical this issue of sholoim is. It's above Halel on Yom HaTzmaut, it's above everything. There doesn't exist a mitzvah in the Torah or an aveir in the Torah that's big enough to contest this item, to compete with this item. The problem is that everybody crawls into a little hole. Everybody goes into a moichen de katnus where they think they're fighting for Hashem. They think they're representing Hashem, whether it's the ones that do say Hallel or the ones that don't say Hallel. Each one thinks that they have Hashem in their pocket, and it's only what I'm doing that's right, and it's only what I'm doing that Hashem wants. And they miss the point. They miss the point that another person has a skeleton key. These people are running around at best with a key to open one door. And another person has a key where the one key can open all 613 doors. The one key of Sholem, of the shiflus and anivus that Aharon HaKohen had that allowed him to do this. If somebody thinks they're great, they can't do this, that's for sure. A great person can't walk over to somebody and tell him, you know how bad this guy feels, because a great person wouldn't dirty his hands with that, and he thinks both of those idiots are too small for me to get involved with, I'm way above both of them, etc. But a person who's not great, a person who's humble and small, and real, and is interested not in their own kavod, but interested in Hashem's kavod, that person understands what Rabbi Nizal is talking about here.
When I was a boy, I lived in Crown Heights, and Babitzer Rebbe used to go every day to visit his mother from Eastern Parkway down to President Street, where his mother lived. And there was a hat maker, a hat blocker, just, who used to stand in his window and do his work. And every time the Babitzer Rebbe passed, twice a day, he would nod to him and greet him nicely. And the person became so embarrassed that he was a Shomer Shabbat and he was a Shomer Mitzvah. And he did a 180-degree turn, exactly.
100%. I recall our Rebbe Zichron Vrocha was discussing the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's a question that's brought about a person who's a mechalel Shabbos. Are you allowed to invite such a person to the Torah? Are you allowed to call up such a person to an aliyah in the Torah? And there are poskim that say that it's wrong, that it's osur, it's forbidden, because in a sense it's a disrespect to the Torah to have somebody who disgraces Shabbos openly, give him an aliyah, it's... And there are other poskim that say yes. And he said that in halacha, it's left as a debate in a sense. But he said that he saw with his own eyes, he saw his own rabbis, when this question came up, he saw them give the aliyah to the person, and he saw that in almost every case where this was done, the fact that the person was given an aliyah, the fact that the person was given that respect, shattered the person. And the person ended up making tshuva just from that alone. And this is the example that the Gemara sets for us. The Gemara shows how it's done. It's not done with a knife. It's not done with a gun. It's done with sholot, with ahavo and sholom.
In 1 minute, we observed it on a trip to Uman 2 years ago in the synagogue in Kiev, where a Yid came in to buy his ticket for the high holidays without an intent of religious commitment. And the party there put tefillin on. Let him put the tefillin on. And that was, he stated that was the beginning of his laying of tefillin.
For the rest of his life. For sure.
You had said before in this paragraph that it refers to all people, not just the Jews.
Yes.
So how do we take that to our blatant enemies of today who, when you show them a little bit of love, will stab you in the back?
The answer is it's a very delicate point. This issue is a very delicate point because we have to know that unfortunately, among the nations of the world, among the 70 nations of the world, there are two types, and we discussed this many times, type A and type B. There's the type A that come from the three klipos that represent something that's complete evil or just about complete evil. This the Torah explains, and therefore they are to be dealt with in a certain way. When Hashem told the Jews to take over the land of Eretz Yisrael, He said not to befriend the seven nations there, but to throw them out. And if they weren't willing to leave vertical, to make sure that they left in a horizontal position, period. That was what the Yidden were told to do at that time by Hashem. The Hashem of peace, the Hashem of love, understood that that's what needed to be done. That was part of Shalom and Chesed. However, there are others among the 70 nations of the world who it's brought that they're from the Noiga, where there's a combination of good and bad, where there's the greatest accomplishment possible is if a person could be Makarev those to the Kedusha. The father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Akiva, Dovra Melech, some of the biggest tzaddikim came from those places. So we see that there definitely is a good over there, only there it requires selecting, being selective. Whereas among the Jews, lahavdil, heaven help that Jew who takes it upon themselves to be selective, to say this Jew's no good, that Jew is good. Rachmona litzlan. Now, Rabbeinu, we'll hold it over here for now. They shouldn't say we didn't learn anything tonight. World politics, right? Now, Rabbi Nizal says, "V'efsher lovoy lebechinas sholoim." Now, how does a person get to this? Sounds grandiose. How does a person get to this? "V'efsher lovoy lebechinas sholoim elo al yedei ha'oras ponim." It's impossible to get to sholoim without a lit up face. Note, the Bar Tanura used that word ponim tzehuvois about Aron HaKohen. Something about ha'oras ponim. Hadras ponim. There has to be a certain beauty on the face that precedes this sholom. V'zeh, Rabbi Nizal says, this is what's meant in the pasuk, where the pasuk says, Vayovoy Yaakov sholem ir Shechem. Yaakov Avinu came to the city of Shechem, sholem, complete. Rabbi Nizal is going to interpret these three items now. Yaakov, sholem, and Shechem. Rabbi Nizal says, "Is arusa shel bechinas la'avdoi shechem echod." In order to arouse this concept of everybody serving Hashem with one shoulder, the word Shechem means the city of Shechem. The word Shechem also means one shoulder, as the pasuk says in Tzfanya, which means total unity. In order to get to that, chual yedei sholoim. It's only through peace. That's the word sholem that's written in the pasuk there. It's hinting to sholoim, peace. And how do you accomplish that? The sholoim hu al yedei bechinas Yaakov. The key to sholoim is through the concept of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu shehu he'oras ponim. Yaakov Avinu is the symbol of a purity of the face, a lit up face. Bechinas shufrei de Yaakov ke'en shufrei dodom. As the Gemara says, that the beauty of the face of Yaakov Avinu shone like the beauty of the face of Odom Arishan himself. Odom Arishan, who was handmade by Hashem, whose face was so lit up, it lit up the whole world, it's brought that Yaakov Avinu's face had that same light on it. V'zeh bechinas, and this is what the pasuk says, mevakshei ponecho Yaakov. They seek out your face, Yaakov Avinu. Which means, Rabbi Nathan says, there is a certain concept of a hadras ponim, a beauty of the face, and a light on the face, that's the key to shalom, and that's the key to getting the whole world to serve Hashem in total achdus. The next paragraphs, Rabbi Nathan is going to explain what this hadras ponim is, and how a person gets to it, so on and so forth.